Tonight, I did have this word prepared, and there's the proof. But I'm not going to share that. I just don't think it's right, because I think most of you are Christians, or if not all of you. But I will just speak for a little bit, and then I think it'd be good if you just keep worshipping a bit. And is that okay? So what I do want to just look at for a minute together is this feeding of the 5,000, for some reason. And I'll just talk through the passage a little bit and see what the Lord wants to bring out of it prophetically. It says the apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they'd done and taught. This is in Mark 6. Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. There's a sort of element of comedy in this. I suppose you probably know that, you know. Have you ever needed rest and you think you need a certain type of rest, but Jesus thinks you need something else, a different type of rest? And this is hilarious. This is the only vacation that the disciples ever get in those 3 years anyway. And it says, so they went away by themselves in a boat. Sounds nice at this point. To a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. It's interesting, it doesn't tell you what the disciples thought. But he had compassion on them. You can bet your bottom dollar that the disciples thought, oh no. And they probably knew the response that Jesus would have. When Jesus saw them, he had compassion on them. It's interesting, it tells you why. It says because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. He began teaching them many things. I wonder what the disciples were thinking. He started this long teach for all these people. They'd already had this. They'd been sent out for the first time on a preaching tour, a grueling preaching tour, in twos, round all sorts of different towns. And some of them had been rejected, and it's probably rocks thrown at them, and they'd moved from one town to another. They'd been sent out a massive stretch of their faith. They had no money, weren't allowed to take any money. This was a lesson in faith. No money, no extra clothes, nothing. You go, you preach, I'll look after you, don't worry. And they were exhausted, probably, but buzzing, because it worked. And they saw people healed, and they saw people open and ready to receive Jesus, and they saw demons come out of people. They saw some real miracles. They were really fired up, and they came out and said to Jesus, even the demons are subject to us. That's what they'd just done. They'd gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they'd done and taught. And they'd been very busy, so busy that they had missed meals. So many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat. That sounds like over-the-top busyness, doesn't it? That sounds like, in our book, that sounds like something wrong. We've got the balance wrong. You know, we need to look after ourselves. We need to be sensible. We need to pull the reins in. This isn't God. This isn't right. Or at least we can have a mad season, but after that, at least now, we'd earn a break. We deserve a break. Hilarious. And then they go on this break. They get out the boat. And the same people, it's the same people, I mean, it's hilarious. The same people they just got exhausted with, the same people who were coming and going, it's the same crowd. If they recognize them, they recognize them. You'd think, oh no, we've done you. We've given and given and given and given. That's what you think. But apparently not Jesus. Incredible. It was a big teaching, learning curve for the 12. He was teaching them what Christianity is actually about. You know, when we follow Jesus, we're called to be the servants of men and to lose our lives. Christian leadership isn't about position and about badges of honor. And it's about losing your life to feed this crowd who Jesus loves. And Jesus sees this crowd and has compassion on them. Because they were lacking something significant. He said they were like a sheep. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep who had no one to show them where the food was. It's just hilarious, isn't it? Because you know the feeling. You know the feeling of, I've already reached my limit. This is my limit. Jesus said, oh no, your limit's way beyond that. I'll show you where your real limit is. Let me show you where my limit is. You go on your vacation, you book it, and it's ministry again, it's work again, it's people again. And Jesus said, sheep without a shepherd, which means, you know, people who follow each other. Have you ever seen sheep without a shepherd? They just follow the backside that's in front of them, which actually is exactly what people do without God. That's exactly how we live. We follow we know not who. We follow anything and anyone, anywhere. We're just following the next 10 that's in front of us. But we don't know what they're following. They're following the 4 that's in front of them. That are following the 6 that's in front of them. That are following the first 10. And they're just lost. And Jesus looked at the people and he said, that's what they're like. They don't know where they're going or why. They don't know where the good food is. They're vulnerable. If you're sheep without a shepherd, you're vulnerable to wolves and lions. They're unbelievably vulnerable. Jesus had compassion on them. He was moved to it was his idea to have the break. But when he saw them, that was out the window. He was moved by their lostness, by their following each other, by the danger of their position. They had no provision, no one to provide for them, no one to feed them. So he started to feed them. He started to feed them straight away. It says, so he began teaching them many things. That's what people actually need. They need the word of God more than anything else in their life. He didn't start, you know, it was interesting. You know, we've heard these scriptures already. The Holy Spirit's been underlining this. He didn't start, you know, let's sit down and let's build a factory so you're all well-dressed. He didn't. And he didn't think about food first. He started to give them what they desperately needed, teaching. They needed teaching about the kingdom of God. He taught them about God, about the kingdom, about God and about the kingdom, about God and about the kingdom. That's what they needed. That's what we need. More than anything else, we need to know God. We need the knowledge of God. That's what stops us going around in circles, what stops us following anyone and anything, and starts giving us some real identity. We start following the way, following Jesus, which is what discipleship is about. Being a disciple of Jesus is about following him. It's about learning, being a learner. It's not about discipline, as we sometimes think. It's about being a learner and following him. And it says that Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so he taught them right into the night. And you can just feel the disciples getting more and more sick, and they're hungry. They haven't eaten. They've only got a little bit themselves, and they're waiting to eat, and they've just had enough. They're beyond themselves. And the disciples come to him and say, this is a remote place and it is already very late. Send the people away. They must have been at a certain point to be able to have the guts to say this to Jesus. Send the people away. And it's funny how you mask it in religious talk, isn't it? Send the people away so they can buy food for themselves, for something to eat. You know, let them, they need many things. Send them away so they can go and get it. And Jesus says that fantastic sentence. You give them something to eat. No, I've invited them all to stay for tea, to stay for supper. They're all our guests. They're staying. In fact, it says on one occasion, they've been there for 3 days. They were there for 3 days. It was the end of 3 days of teaching. And they had nothing to eat. He said, I'm not going to send them anywhere. We're going to feed them. You're going to feed them. You give them something to eat. That's what I feel the Holy Spirit wants to say tonight to some of us. You know, God asks us to do things with what we've got when we don't feel what we've got is enough to do it. That's the whole point. This is how you see miracles happen. This is how you see the Holy Spirit move and things begin. God asks you to do things with what you've got when you know what you've got can't do it. Jesus doesn't ask us to do possible things. God doesn't call you to do possible things. He calls you to do impossible things. That's how you learn. That's how you walk with Jesus. That's how you enter into the miraculous and faith. And they knew they couldn't feed that crowd. There was thousands of people. And they only had, you know what they had? They had 5 loaves and two fish. And Jesus said to them, and they looked and they said that, you know, take 8 months' wages to feed these people. Are we to go out and spend that much, you know? What, Jesus, what are you doing? And John's Gospel, it says that he asked some of them, and he said he only asked them for a test. He was testing them. He was actually testing them. The whole thing was a test. And he said to them, where do you think we're going to get some bread for these people to eat? And, you know, one of them says, well, send them away. You know, he failed the test. Another one says, well, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many? He fails the test. And Jesus says, bring them here to me. And first of all, he says this, look, how many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. He sent them away for them to actually find out what they did have. And I think that's something the Holy Spirit wants to say tonight first. Is this, you know, find out what you've got. What do you have? Because Jesus didn't spooky these things out of the sky. He didn't. He didn't create, he didn't make packed lunches appear for everyone. He worked through what they already had. That's what he does. Miracles aren't weird. Miracles are a multiplication of what already is in us, what he's already given us. God has given us gifts, he's given us things, and he wants to use those things to win the crowds and to meet people's needs. So you've got to find out what you've got. What have you got? What has God already given you? What gifts has he given you? What faith has he given you? What measure has he given you? What's he given you? And you might look at it and think, well, I've only got this. I'm just this. And, you know, we all think that. Well, that's right. You need to know, first of all. Go and see. How many loaves do you have? They didn't know. Go and see. Find out. And then they come back with accurate information. Well, we've got 5 and 2 fish. Okay, well, that's what you've got. And Jesus says, bring them here to me. Put them in my hands, which is the second big issue. You know, what you've got needs to be put in the hands of Jesus. If it remains in your hands, you'll never see anything happen. Your life and your gifts and everything needs to be put in the hands of Jesus. Then something can happen. You know, and that is an issue of surrender. It's an issue of handing yourself over to Jesus, all the littleness of who you are, to do a great task, you know. All the weakness, all the poorness of who we are, put in the hands of Jesus. You don't need to do anything with it anyway. You know, someone said to General Booth, you know, William Booth, who started the Salvation Army, what is the secret of your success? How come you're seeing so much happen in London? And he had a stick in his hand, he drew a circle on the ground with the stick, and he stood inside and he said, everything in the circle, God's got the lot. There's an issue there of surrender. You know, we talk about fire in the villages and fire in our hearts. The issue is surrender of our lives to God. And God having everything, every part of us, God having fully and absolutely. You know, Corrie ten Boom was once in a meeting with Oswald Smith. And Oswald Smith was speaking. He had a few books. And he said, you know, has God got everything in your life? And he puts one of the... He says, you know, God's... He put all the books on the table. He said, that's like someone who says, well, God's got everything in my life. My family, my time, my money, my this, my that, and the other. And he says, God's got my family, but I have something in mind for my son. You know, I'd really like him to do this. And I really want him to do this. And no matter what he's going to do this, because I've always wanted him to do this. So he took that book off. Because actually God didn't have his family. He had his family. And he said, and God's got all my time with the other book. And he said, but there's those 2 weeks we always have, holiday, that are like my time that I need, you know. But apart from that, God's got all my time. So that book comes off. And God's got our house. Okay, our house belongs to the Lord. But there's that woman in our church who's sick, who's got those five kids who she can't look after. And there's people asking who can put them up and look after them. But they can't come to our house because they'll just wreck it. I know what those kids are like. So that book goes back. And he did it, you know, he was just showing how easy it is to say, God's got the lot. And actually, sometimes it's just not a fact. And everything came back. And Corrie ten Boom, of all people, she was older in life as well. She left this meeting and went outside and said, Father in heaven, is everything in my life on the altar or not? And he said, it isn't now. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, everything we've got needs to be put in the hands of Jesus. You can only do that by faith and by surrender and by willingness and putting it in his hands. And then Jesus, it says, looked up to heaven and this amazing thing happened. He directed the people to sit down. And all these people ate. And they ate, you know, not through the hands of Jesus, through the apostles' hands, through the disciples' hands. Jesus blessed it, broke it, which you could talk about, gave it to them, and they fed the people. You know, what you give to God, you get it back. Except it's God's then. It's different. You give it to God, you get it back, but it's God's, and it has something supernatural about it. You do the same thing you would have done before, but if they'd have only tried to feed that crowd without it going through the hands of Jesus, what would have happened? Well, three people would have got fed, and thousands of people would have been empty. But when it goes through the hands of Jesus, something happens. But you know what's scary? Not many lives and ministries go through the hands of Jesus. Most of us just thank God for what we get, for what he's given. He's given it. And we keep our lives in our own hands, which is actually what the whole story is about. The disciples needed a vacation. They'd earned it. They deserved it. But there's a different type of refreshment. After this, Jesus sends them away on a boat for a long row into a storm. And he goes up on the mountain to pray for his own refreshment. You know, that refreshment comes from the Lord. Why don't we pray? And then we're going to let Dave sing a bit more. And we'll pray a bit. Pray for Stokesley, pray for Fire in the Village. Okay. Lord, we just want to thank you tonight that you are the one who multiplies our lives and enables our lives to become something so that we can feed multitudes of people. Lord, we just ask you tonight that you'd speak to us by your Holy Spirit. You'd show us any place in our life where we're not surrendered to you. Any area in our life where you want to underline your work. Lord, we pray you'd show us tonight what you've given us. And we pray you'd show us tonight how to get that into your hands for real. So you can bless it, so you can break it. So you can give us back what you want and send us into the place of miracles and real refreshment. Thank you, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit tonight, we pray, Lord. Help us meet with you tonight in this worship. Thank you, Lord. I pray for every person here. Every person will be touched by you. Every person will be fed tonight through your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Should we stand together?